McGowan's Return, Chapter 1, The Sacred Vigil. The major advantage of having a second-floor apartment on Clifton Boulevard is that it commands a view of the sidewalk. Even though his building faced Arbor Avenue, from his south windows he could see everyone who got on and off the bus that ran to downtown Cleveland. In this case, the everyone was a woman he knew as Rachel. His first impression of her came from her unvarying allegiance to a daily routine. Every morning, from his high perch, he watched her board the number 55 bus. He could depend on her being at the stop near his window Monday through Friday by 7:51 a.m. when the bus arrived. For over 2.5 years, he kept track of her unwavering schedule. For the longest time, he wondered where she went each day. He knew the bus route from the brochure supplied by the RTA. It ran east along Clifton Boulevard, a block north of Public Square, and then on toward Playhouse Square and Cleveland State University. When the time was right, he left his apartment before her scheduled arrival and walked west in order to get on the bus a stop ahead. That was a Tuesday, and he was quite pleased when the familiar block of red buildings came into view. The bus stopped, and Rachel stepped up through the open doors, walking past him as she found a seat further back. He looked away as she passed, but felt a movement of air as she brushed by. She got off the bus at Ontario Street, just near the Justice Center. He went one stop further before disembarking. He walked back along Lakeside, but by the time he reached Ontario, Rachel had disappeared into the heart of the city. He crossed the avenue and caught the next bus back to Lakewood and home. After that, he rode the bus every Tuesday, always following the same pattern of walking west to get on ahead of her. He felt that they had a lot in common. Like him, she was a creature of unswerving habit, missing only the national holidays and, as he noted, the special dates of the Christian calendar. It was not so much that he loved this Rachel. In fact, it was important that he did not actually know her. It was enough that to know that she was a Rachel, a name shared with his mother and with several others whom he admired in the past. The truth was that he had taken this very apartment so that he could maintain his sacred vigil. On a very few days, she had broken her routine and sent him to near panic. Once he walked a block and a half to stand on the sidewalk across from her house. He thought of a series of excuses to climb the 3 stone steps of the stoop to knock on the door just to see if she would answer. He thought of bringing his van around from the alley garage where he kept it parked. He could tell her that it was stalled in front of her building, and could he use the phone? But he was not ready to address Rachel by name. That will happen on a Thursday, not now, he thought. He always spoke to his Rachels on Thursdays. He had been born on a Thursday, as his mother had often told him. You came out talking too much even then, she scolded. In his heart he knew that his mother loved him deeply, but she was a stickler for detail and would have to discipline him when he let her down. He couldn't blame her. He was all she had. In the end, he was the one who had cared for her in her final moments of life. There had been a great deal of discussion at the hospital when the discharge planner suggested that she be moved to an extended care facility. He remembered his mother's gratitude at being able to stay at home when he had assured the planner that he could handle the routine of his mother's treatment regimen. A visiting nurse could check in on her, but he would have no part of a nursing home. The staff nurse at the hospital gave him a crash course in how to make sure her airway on her trach was clear. It was simply a matter of keeping a steady routine. Every 2 hours on the even hour, he would meticulously suction the tubing according to the schedule that had been set up for him. He did not have to worry between cleanings, since the ventilator to which she was attached also had an alarm which would waken him or call him away from the television. It was the alarm that called him in her final moments. He often thanked the buzz that had summoned him to the bedside as she passed from this life. Had it not sounded, she might have died alone in a gasping panic. He had seen the fear in her eyes as he approached the bed. It was only 10 minutes before he was scheduled to suction her throat. As he waited, he saw the relief in her eyes and knew it was love. There was a rattle in her throat that seemed to bellow from deep within. Her eyes rolled back, and he knew that he had seen her through the end. It was perfect in its way. At 2 o'clock, he performed his scheduled duty of suctioning the trach tube. After that, he called 911. It was Thursday.